Chapter 4. It was hard for Katerina to explain, even harder to understand. But it happened every time she returned home to her small hometown of Sorrento. The moment her foot hit the warm pavement outside the railway station, and she made her way through the crowds along the elegant Corso Italia, past the row of shops to Piazza Tasso, the beautiful beating heart of the town, she felt the outer layer of her skin slough off. She left it there, lying in the dirt. Without it, she could move freely, not just her limbs, but her mind. She could think more clearly. Here, in the pure, clear air of Sorrento, she could at last breathe. Sorrento was a town like no other in Italy. It sat perched up high alongside the seabirds on top of a sheer limestone cliff. Far below, the dazzling Tyrrhenian Sea heaved itself against the rocks and tugged at the colourful fishing boats moored in the small marina. The town's ancient Roman and medieval history was stamped on each narrow street and on every one of the medieval walls, as well as on the great arched doorways that hid courtyards and iron staircases from view. Even the great slabs of stonework from which the houses were constructed, hewn in the Bugnato rustic style of grey volcanic blocks, bore pockmarked indentations, as though 100,000 fingers had trailed over them. It was a town that had gazed out over the spectacular sweep of the Bay of Naples and the brooding hazy presence of Mount Vesuvius for more than 1,000 years. A town so exquisitely beautiful that people came here to die. Katerina believed that was what her mother had done, come here to die. Not literally, of course not, but in every other way. In her 20s, Lucia Neroni had abandoned the wild parties of her youth in Florence and the sophisticated salons of the north and buried herself in the peasant world of the south. She swapped her dancing shoes and pearls for goats and lemon groves, for blood feuds and the shadow of the Camorra.